In the last episode, we were focusing on some of the tough times we've had and first impressions and how we work through those in basically two ways, you know, address past experiences, and more importantly, just being insanely clear on where we're headed, why we're heading there, and being inflexible about the fact that we are getting there. But, you know, I've been getting some feedback from that episode, and a lot of folks like the story and the analogy of the baby buffaloes and how we just questioned, are the teachers at our school, are we as a staff, are we circling the week and doing everything we can to ensure that they become healthy? And, you know, I'm happy to reflect, as we normally do in the beginning of these episodes. I wanted to reflect about this school that we were concentrating on last time, because it wasn't in any way negative. But once we navigated through that, it just became such a strong place, such an inspirational place to visit. And I was actually there just 2 weeks ago. And when I arrived on a Friday, these folks greeted me with coffee. They greeted me with high fives, or family. But more important than anything, you know, they're circling their week now. This is a strong herd. They've identified what's essential, and they are doing everything they can to make sure that every student makes it to that level. And that once we have that, once we have this idea of what we want every student to get to by the end of the year, or the end of the 9 weeks in the case that they have kids, what comes next? And that is really the focus of today's episode. Once you know what you want students to know and be able to do, how do you ensure that you meet the needs of every student in the room? How do we make sure that we slow down enough for every kid to not just get it, but get it at grade level, while at the same time moving forward as needed by whatever type of guide or calendar that we have to meet through our curriculum? And the answer is, as we find out today, we keep the pace while still serving every student by applying something called vitamin time. And with that, let's get to today's episode.
Ever wonder what it takes to truly transform a school's learning environment and culture? Well, stick around, because today we're diving into how Coach Eddie and KnowledgeBorn are making waves in schools by boosting instruction, culture, and leadership, all with measurable results. I'm your host, Coco.
And I'm your other host, Coach Eddie. And this is On the Road with Coach Eddie and Coco. It's a different type of podcast for a different type of audience. You see, I travel across the country working with schools to change education and to find better learning outcomes for our kids and for our staff. How is this different? I basically have taken my notes from the many visits across the country, and I put them into a journal. That journal is then shared with an AI compadre, and her name is Coco. Coco takes these notes, puts them into a summary, and makes them accessible for all of us. So it's like we're sitting in the room on the front lines as the change is happening. And so if you're a principal, or you're a team lead, or just somebody interested in making a change in education, you've come to the right place, because we're going to show you what it looks like on the front lines. Take our examples, take your own knowledge, and put them into place starting tomorrow. And that is what it's like to be on the road with Coach Eddie and Coco. Welcome. And welcome back. You know, today's focus is on a thing called vitamin time, and I've got to give credit where credit is due. There's a absolutely incredible book, a guide, if you might, that was written by two brilliant women, Dr. Sharon Kramer and Dr. Sarah Schul. You know, the name of the book is called Acceleration for All. And it really is a foundational guide to how do we move schools and students forward at a rapid pace when we don't have time. We don't have time to spare. And the reason I'm referencing this book is because when we go into schools that have been taken over by the state, or I work at schools where there's a need to turn things around quickly, we have to accelerate the learning in the room. And how do you do that? How do you get students to grade level when 75%, 80% of your students aren't even at grade level to begin with? Well, there's one page in that book where Dr. Kramer mentions in one page just this idea of a vitamin approach where, you know, you can eat a whole meal, a whole bunch of nutrients there. But when students are basically digesting content at different paces, you have to make sure that you give them the right dose of that content when they need it at that time to push them forward to grade level. And that's the idea of a vitamin approach. What we did and what I've been doing in schools is using that theory and creating something called vitamin time. And that's what today's about. You know, how do we basically answer that question of moving every student forward at their own pace while at the same time moving the entire class and the pace for tier one instruction along? You can't do both. Or maybe you can. And so today we visit a middle school in Southern California. I was working with an English department, and I only work there a couple of days a year. So when I go, we have to get work done. I mean, we have to get work done because I might not come back for 3 or 4 months. And so we were working with this team and understanding that by the time I come back, we should have some clear expectations. We should understand what vitamin time is. And we should also understand what the most essential standard or skill that we're teaching for the year is, because you have to have both of those things before you can begin. And today we're gonna hear early and often from Coco, but I have to warn you. You know, Coco has recently discovered coffee. And when she gets excited about something and we're talking now, she speeds up her voice. And so there's gonna be times today where that coffee's kicking in and she's speaking fast. And there's going to be other times, I think, where it's not as dynamic and exciting and she'll be slowing that tone. But let's hear from her anyways. Coco, I know you've had your morning coffee. Let's give us an overview of today.
All right, so here's the gist of what happened and what really matters. We're at that late October slump, energy's dipping, and the plan today wasn't a slide-heavy training. It was, let's revisit the core from August and set clear next steps as a department. Because the coach won't be back till January. The big anchor idea is this vitamin approach. Pick one through line skill or a single standard inside a long unit, and give it a tiny, steady dose every day. Think 5 to 7 minutes, 3 to 5 times a week. Small, consistent hits so kids see it more often than they don't, because once a week practice, yeah, they forget. Now, how that time fits in class matters. On a traditional period, you keep vitamin time to those 7 minutes, then you still have plenty for regular tier one instruction. Exposure, whole group mini lesson. then split time for practice or group work while you constantly check for understanding. But if we're going to invest those minutes, that target has to be worth it. Something we guarantee every kid leaves with by year's end.
And so there you have it. Something we guarantee that every student leaves with by year's end. And that's the idea of vitamin time. And so it was explained briefly, but I want to break it down. What we're doing here is first we have to create an essential standard. We have to understand what the most important things that we teach are. And many people have 7 or 8. But the way vitamin time works is we put those all in a ranking from most critical to least critical. And in this case, we're going to use today, I used an example, 2 examples from math. We use students will be able to solve 1 and 2 step equations with multiple variables, right? And for English, it's this writing process, understanding that all writing has the elements of responding to a prompt, developing a claim or a thesis, and supporting it with evidence and reasoning, right? That's it. And so what we agree to is in an hour's worth of class, which is average, the first 3 to 4 minutes, 5 minutes, teachers take and roll. Students are doing a warm-up of some sort, but it's really an activity to reflect so that the teacher can, you know, get the beginning of the class started. And then at the end of class, we're putting things away and we're getting ready. And in some classes, you can have as much as 7 to 10 minutes of flexible time. And so what we're doing is replacing those warm-ups, replacing with the pack-up at the end. And we're saying, listen, we don't have time to waste in Tier 1 instruction. So instead of doing a warm-up for 7 minutes or a clean-up for 3 minutes, let's have a focus time that we call vitamin time. Let's have a time where we move students through what we think is the most critical standard each day in small increments of 7 minutes each. For the other 43 minutes, we're still teaching Tier 1 instruction. We're still following the pacing guide. If we're reading a novel, we're reading that novel. If we're in math and we're graphing equations. But when it comes to vitamin time, we shut down, we go back. Because kids are seeing it every day from the first day of school until every student's mastered it. Now you take that 10 minutes. You multiply it by 4 days a week. And we have 40 to 50 minutes a week where we're concentrating on targeted instruction on the most critical thing we teach every year. Over time, that can turn into 40 hours over a full year. And so we are moving in a targeted fashion on this vitamin time, right? We're moving and being targeted as we unload this. And that allows us to move at every student's pace. We do our common formative assessments during this vitamin time. We do our interventions during this vitamin time. Most importantly, we extend the learning for students during this vitamin time who have already met standards. And so it becomes a place where we focus on what is most important. And it's how we make sure every kid progresses through the most important standards while still keeping pace for the other 45 minutes on whatever it is that our pacing guides tell us to do. And so that's an overview. What we did on this day with this English team, however, is I thought we can talk about it or I can actually have them experience it. And so that's where we moved to. I started this session with a common formative assessment. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know a common formative assessment is really just something that we give students to measure their progress towards our goal. there's not a grade attached to it, because it tells our students, have we met it or do we still need help? And so instead of starting with the formative assessment for English, I hit them with one for math. But here's how it looked.
Here's where the rigor ladder shows up. We always start at the lowest level before we ask kids to do the hard stuff. The coach used math to prove it, instead of solve the equation. The quick common formative assessment, CFA, was identify the variables, then the coefficients, then the constants with their signs, then the operators, including the invisible ones like times 1x, then the like terms, and finally a tiny one-step inverse operations chart. And the bar was 6 out of 6, not to be harsh, but because if you can't tell a constant from a coefficient, you're not ready to combine or solve. The point wasn't getting the answer. It was speaking the language of the parts so you can actually think in math. That's level one rigor, but it unlocks everything else. And the payoff of a CFA like that? It shows you the exact gap. Kids don't just fail an equation. They're missing coefficients, or they ignore signs, or they can't spot like terms. 7 minutes, quick check, and you know exactly what to reteach. Do that 3 days in a row with pairs and most kids can master it. Then, when a Friday CFA shows who hits 6 of 6, those kids extend for the next vitamin blocks, maybe turn an equation into a word problem, like noticing a constant is a one-time fee, while students who didn't master repeat with fresh reps. Same time, different work, everyone moving. So that's the structure.
And that's the structure. We've gone through a little bit of reflection and talking about how this vitamin time works. I want to visit about, you know, if you close your eyes and imagine a room. We had this learning ladder that Coco was talking about. And all that means is, look, if we're going to approach an essential standard, we have to figure out the nouns first. What are the things that people, students, are going to be asked to manipulate through this whole structure? And in an equation, it's simple. There's variables, coefficients, constants, operators, like terms, and inverse. That's it. And I really wish I would have learned this when I was in algebra. These 5 words we're manipulating through the whole equation. And if we know what these things are, we can work. We marry those 5 words constantly with verbs. Verbs on the learning ladder. A ladder where we start with the least rigorous verb and move upwards. Because the standard starts at, can students solve equations? But that doesn't help us to fill gaps, does it? There's things I like to call invisible verbs, and that's the challenge. That's where the work happens in PLC. What are the verbs that aren't stated, but are needed? And for algebra, we found, and for every single subject area, we found the hidden verbs are define and identify. Can you define what a variable is? Moving up the ladder, and most importantly, if you're looking at an equation, can you identify, can you tell me, where are the variables? What are the coefficients? What are the constants? What are the operators? What are the like terms? And then what are the inverse operations? If you're kind of scratching your head right now and saying, that sounds a little tough, I got news for you. That is basic language for equation. And if kids can't speak it, if you're wondering what those are and you can't get 100% on the questions I just asked you, then you don't have the foundations to solve equations either. So shouldn't we fix it? And so that was it, 6 questions. There was one teacher in the room that got it right, 6 out of 6. And when it comes to something like identify, it's a low-level verb. It's not rigorous at all, but it's necessary. So on an assessment like this, the students have to get 8 out of 8 or 6 out of 6. They have to get 100%. Because if you can't identify correctly all the parts of an equation, how are you going to be able to apply other verbs like isolate? Or like combine like terms? So we start with the basics, and that's what we did. 6 questions, 1 teacher out of 8 got them right. And then we introduced the vitamin time. I gave these folks 7 minutes to work together in teams of 3. I put 3 equations on the board and I said, just work with your partners. Because at level 1, when students aren't proficient and they can't identify the parts, the only way to intervene is repeated exposure. And so we took the time. I gave them 7 minutes, folks. Only 7 minutes in teams, 3 equations on the board, and told them, pick them apart. Identify again the variables, the coefficients, the constants, the operators, the like terms, and tell me about the inverse operations that you see. And then there was the student, the one teacher that got 100%. And I highlighted one of the equations in purple. And I said, for those of you that are proficient, I just want you to turn that equation into a word problem. No guidance. It's a challenge. Good luck. That 7 minutes went by like a flash. The important thing in the room was right after that, I told teachers, imagine if you would have had 3 days of this. And they said, we really do think that we can actually get 100% on the assessment now. So I gave it to them. After 1 session of vitamin time, targeted intervention by target, we moved from 1 out of 8 to 7 out of 8. It works, folks. Now we could do this. We can do this approach with 5 to 10 minutes a day, 3 days a week. But we have to do it on 1 standard and make sure that we have extensions for every student to be challenged as we move along, the same way we're providing interventions for kids to get there. And that experience motivated this crew, and they were like, we understand now. And so the next step was, by the time I come back, I want to make sure that you guys know what is worthy of the vitamin time. And then they got to work.
Then the group turned to ELA and asked, which standard is worthy of the vitamin spot? People named the big pain points, citing evidence well, then actually explaining why it matters, the reasoning, not just repeating the quote. Pretty quickly, it became clear that adding make a claim ties it all together. Claim, evidence, reasoning. Maybe later, counterclaim and rebuttal as the challenge move. But the core is developing a coherent response. And yes, teach kids to attack the prompt first, like we attacked that equation, by finding the nouns and verbs, restating the task, and answering before anything else. If they can't restate a 2-part prompt, they trip at the doorway. There was also a real talk moment about language. Some schools use CR, others use race, some use Jane Schaffer. The takeaway wasn't pick one forever. It was help kids shapeshift. Teach the underlying moves, restate, answer, cite, explain, and show how the labels line up. That way, when a high school teacher uses a different acronym, our kids translate, they don't shut down. Same skill, different wrapper. They also pressed on another non-negotiable, keep everything at grade level. No dropping Lexiles on the CFAs. If a student reads below grade level, they'll work longer and get more support, but the target stays the target. Equity here looks like time, scaffolds, and persistence, not lowering the bar. To decide if the ELA target deserves the vitamin spot, they used that 1-5 scoring lens, how much it helps next year, in life, across subjects, and on high-stakes tasks. Claim evidence reasoning hits the max. It's critical for interviews, active listening, and, honestly, healthy relationships. restating what you heard before you respond. It helps kids filter truth from noise, argue respectfully, and write across science, history, you name it. It's also central on state tests and workplace exams. Easy 20 out of 20.
Easy 20 out of 20. You know, remember the purpose of this podcast is to imagine yourself in the room while this is happening. Coco was talking about a lot, but I mean, these folks were inspired. After feeling, witnessing, and experiencing vitamin time through Dr. Kramer's vitamin approach, these folks were on fire and they did a great job. There's a couple of things I want to touch on that Coco was talking about. Number one was that they did not lower the bar for grade level rigor when it came to common formative assessments. In other words, when we're testing our students for proficiency, the reading lexile, the challenge, everything is at grade level. And that's important because when it matters, as Ken Williams would say, you know, we hold a crown above our students' heads, and that is the standard. And we ask them, we challenge them, we support them growing into that crown. We don't place it on their head. And so when assessments, interventions, extensions, when grade level proficiency is the expectation, we're pushing. And while you can't do it for everything, you can definitely do it for what's essential. And so these folks were on fire. The other thing that was important is that they realized we have to teach these components not as a style of writing. We have to teach these components as parts of writing. So if we do claims, evidence, reasoning, what happens if our eighth graders go on to ninth grade and they have a teacher that says, I do the race strategy or I do the Schaefer method? We don't want those students to shut down. And so as they're teaching it, they're also saying, you may hear of the race strategy. And it's the same thing. Here's how it looks. So exposing students to other styles, but making sure they understand at the core of all three of these styles, it's restating a claim. It's knowing what the question's asking. It's developing that claim, finding evidence and making sure that you talk about that evidence in a way that makes sense and logic. And with that, they got to work. And I loved it. And I left there feeling like I can't wait to be back in January because I know these folks are on fire. The math teams did the same. The science teams did the same. But sometimes, a lesson learned here is sometimes we just need to experience things for ourselves in order to see the value. And that's really what we did here. We took those teachers through vitamin time. They loved it. And then they couldn't ignore the fact that every other kid in their school deserved it. And then we headed towards the end.
To save time, the coach offered a gift, a ready-to-adapt set of learning targets from a continuation school that used this exact process to change outcomes. The targets start super simple, define and identify, then move up to apply and develop. The trick is you don't assess every single micro target. You choose the ones worthy of a CFA. For this strand, one smart early CFA is literally restate the prompt and answer it. If they can't do that, you don't move on. Then you layer, highlight a model to find the claim, spot the evidence, write the explanation that shows why that evidence proves the point, step by step, clear and small. There was a quick PLC planning piece. Decide whether to do this as a whole department or by grade band. List the essential standards already identified and pick two or three high leverage ones for vitamin time. Build a shared document, agree on the nouns and verbs we want kids to master, and keep the language consistent across the team. If high school alignment is murky, gather info, and if needed, share what's working here upward. Meanwhile, we prep kids to translate between systems. And tucked through all of this was a human reminder about middle schoolers. They'll follow you if the routine is predictable and valuable. 7 focused minutes, most days, becomes a rhythm they trust. Keep it light, keep it clear, celebrate 100% mastery at level 1, and let the CFAs tell you what to teach tomorrow. When the standard is chosen well and we commit as a team, that tiny daily vitamin isn't a filler. It's the thing that makes sure every kid actually gets the skill we promised.
I love it. I love it. It's not a filler. It's the tiny pill that we can guarantee every kid gets it. Disclaimer. These things are not easy to do. And this might not be the answer for everybody. But what I promised with this podcast is to bring you into the room. And the idea of vitamin time is starting to gain momentum. In schools around the country, not every school I coach uses it, but the ones that are using it are feeling like we can get there. Maybe we can't get every standard, but we know that we're going to get to proficiency grade level on 1, 2, 3, or 4 of these things throughout the year. And with that, I'd like to thank you for being here today. We did a lot of reflection. We did a lot of digging. And I hope you can take something back to your school or your team. Thanks for being on the road. We'll see you next time. This has been On the Road with Coach Eddie and Coco. And remember, the mission of this podcast is to bring you onto the front lines to see how we are truly transforming education across the nation.
As always, it's a wonderful thing to have the privilege to use your brain and learn something new. I'm your host, Coco, and I'll see you next time.
And I'm your host, Coach Eddie. And this has truly been a great journey. You have been on the road with Coach Eddie and Coco. Remember, now that you can see it, you can do it. Let's get to work together. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.